All right, are we ready? Welcome. Glad you're with us. All right, Dr. John Witcher, if you end up in the hospital and they're trying to kill you and give you remdesivir and kill your liver, is it your liver or your kidneys? Remdesivir.
Both.
Both?
Yeah.
And they're trying to put you on a respirator. Who do you call? Not Ghostbusters. You call Dr. John Witcher, and he comes and saves your life. He'll help your family, get you out of there, put you up in a hotel, turn it into a literal hospital room with an RN, and save your life. That's kind of what you've been doing, right?
Well, we did do that, yep. Yeah. So
he's so humble about it. Yeah, we did that. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, the hospitals, Brandon, have been, you know, it's been a real tragedy through this whole situation. Hospitals have not been using the correct medications that they could have used for COVID. And, you know, there was remdesivir was not the drug to be using. They finally did take it out of the hospital setting, but, you know, I took it off patients in December of 21. Okay. We had plenty of information at that point to know that remdesivir was not the drug to be using on these inpatients.
Yeah.
And so
has everybody come to that conclusion now, or is it still being pushed?
It's not being pushed in the hospital setting now, but you know, I was just a few months early on that, but and you know, I was terminated for doing that.
Yes, you were. You were terminated from working at a hospital in Mississippi,
yeah.
Which you think would be a more conservative environment,
yeah.
Right?
In a rural hospital. I'm basically a country doctor, you know,
yeah.
A general practitioner, and we do a little bit about everything in the countryside. You know, whether it's you know, I do a lot of ER work in these little small hospitals. I'm the hospitalist as well. So, you know, it's very hard to find doctors for these rural hospitals.
Yeah.
So as the medical director and overseeing the care of in the emergency room, as well as the hospitalized patients, you know, I felt I had a duty as a physician to do, you know, what I felt was right for the patients.
Right.
And so at that point, after, you know, we're talking about December 21, we're way into the process of using remdesivir. And we knew that it was not, you know, at that point, it was not an effective drug to use late in COVID once they're in the hospital. I mean, it's not an effective drug, period, but it's very toxic once you use it when patients are becoming very sick with COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your lovely wife is with you?
This is Brooke. This is Brooke, my wife. And so I wanted her to come on today because she's a big part of what I've been doing. She, you know, we started Mississippi Against Mandates.
Mississippi okay. Against Mandates, is that the website?
That's the website.
MississippiAgainstMandates.com.
MSAgainstMandates.org.
Okay, MSAgainstMandates.org.
That's correct. Okay.
We've had you on three or four times, and people have asked, hey, what's Dr. Witcher up to? What's an update? That kind
yeah.
of thing.
So that's what we, I'm going to let her talk a little bit, maybe tell the story on how we started Mississippi Against Mandates. She was
apparently Lee Greenwood's right down the hall. It's just a recording. Are they hearing that, guys, as loudly as I'm hearing it? It's not as loud?
So,
the mics aren't picking it up like it is? Man, I can barely hear you guys talk. We've been competing with a loud group. Who is that down there? That's Right Side Broadcasting. Oh, Trump is speaking right now in Wisconsin? Oh, are they pumping out they're pumping out the music from the rally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they've all gathered down there. They can't be at the rally, so they've gathered down here. Okay,
yeah.
All right, that makes sense. All right. I was trying to figure out what's going on. All right, so tell us.
Well, when...
You can hold that. You can actually take that out of the stand and hold it because it's so low. There you go.
So when this whole COVID thing started, we all felt like this was something crazy when they decided that there were some people that were essential and some people that were not essential. It really went against everything we believed. We don't believe there's non-essential people,
right?
And there's no such thing as a non-essential business. And I think every person needed to be able to work and to work through this. So we were offended by the whole idea of the lockdowns. We didn't feel like that was the right thing to do. We didn't believe that the masks were right. I could see where that was harmful right away, and especially for long term. And when they came down with the mandates for everyone to be vaccinated in a hospital setting, we knew that this was not going to be the right thing for our family, and it was probably not going to be the right thing for a lot of people's family. We didn't feel like that we had been told the truth about the production, the science behind it, what were the long-term ramifications, and I just didn't trust it. I don't feel like it's right to take something that could genetically modify a person's DNA, you know, and that's now proven to be a possibility.
Yeah.
And so we started Mississippi Against Mandates to just let people know that they're not alone in the battle. They're not by themselves. And what we found was we weren't the only ones that did this. There are people all over the country that decided that this was not the right thing for them, and they started to stand up. So we started networking with other people, other doctors and nurses and medical people. Then all of a sudden it's the shipyard on the coast and lots of places, the colleges. We began to go to events. We met Dr. McCullough, and he's been just a huge blessing to us. And then we met Dr. Malone, Dr. Corey, and Dr. Merrick, and many others, Dr. Heather Gessling, Dr. Kat Lindley, many other great doctors, Dr. Molly James. And then we've traveled around and met Mary Tally Bowen. There's a lot of amazing doctors, Dr. Angelina,
Farella.
Dr. Angie Farella, and many others, and they've been amazing. And they've, you know, courage begets courage. And I think that these doctors speaking out and telling the truth, Dr. Ben Marble, I could go on and on.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
Many amazing.
Dr. Richard Urso.
Dr.
Yeah.
Urso.
Yeah, he's a leader in the fight.
He is amazing. So amazing. And so the more people that are out there teaching and telling the truth and sharing their experiences, it begets other people to do the same thing. And so now it's huge. And it's not just about the mandates. It's about patient care and medical freedom.
Absolutely.
You know, taking care, giving people the option to choose the way they want to be taken care of in a hospital setting too.
Well, you're a great spokesperson. No wonder John wanted to bring you on. Good job. So John, tell me what's the latest. I mean, now we've got the emergency declaration by the Biden regime over monkeypox. I mean, is this monkeypox or is this a consequence of the shot? Because Karen Kingston, the former Pfizer employee, has shown us pictures that look like what is the ramifications and byproduct of taking the shot. And in some cases, I've seen the same picture for what's so-called monkeypox also being used in the exact same picture for what is supposed to be shingles. So what's going on here? Are we being deceived? I mean, I guess I saw someone, I don't know if they were being serious or joking, you know, they're encouraging people to stop sexual orgies for 15 days to flatten the curve.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm telling you seriously.
Yeah,
they actually have websites out there telling you how to continue in your sexual perversion, but I don't even want to describe what I've been told by some of my researchers that have
said,
is what these websites are saying. I'm like, well, that's interesting, but I can't repeat that on the air.
CDC website. I won't read off the list, but
thank you.
But number three is have sex with your clothes on.
Yeah.
If you know, things like that. So yeah, monkeypox is, you know, it's very rare. Okay, at the time they declared the emergency, there was about 25,000 cases in the world.
In the world.
And 5,811 cases in the nation. Okay, so not a whole lot.
5,000 cases just in America.
Just in America. 5,811 the day Biden declared it an emergency.
Which is yesterday, right?
Monday.
Oh, is it Monday already?
I think it was Monday.
All right,
yeah.
Today's Friday.
So several days ago. So it makes no sense because really 98% of the people that get monkeypox are men that have sex with men. And so why you would...
Well, guess what? I'm not going to get monkeypox.
Well, yeah, we're not going to get monkeypox.
No.
But you would think. But, I mean, they're talking about masking. If you go on the CDC website, they're talking about you need to isolate and you need to mask.
Over monkeypox.
Over monkeypox.
Everybody does?
Well, that's what it indicates. All right. So, you know, this is what, you know, the only thing I can figure is that, you know, this is going to just be used as a way to lock people down if it comes to that. You know, if they want to use that, pull that card, so to speak, it has to do with midterm elections and shutting things down. Fear. It's just like you said. I mean, you know, you can have shingles. You can have different rashes from COVID itself. Are from the vaccines if you're vaccine injured. And so this can look like monkeypox, right? And so this is going to be a fear tactic, I believe, to basically shut the lock people down.
Well, what I'm trying to figure out, because I'm always trying to figure out what their strategy is, why do they seem to be setting up the gay community, if you will, for backlash? I know part of the goal of the globalist, the elite, whatever, is conflict, right? Conflict, conflict, the change. Yeah. Saul Alinsky said the change comes from the conflict.
Yeah.
The change comes from the conflict.
Yeah.
So are they, why are they trying to set up people, a certain group of people? It seems like they're trying to, maybe in my mind, I'm wondering, are they trying to set them up? Are they trying to create more conflict? They divide us by economics. They divide us by race. Now they're going to try to say, this is all coming from the gay community. Now all of us have to worry about getting it thanks to these guys. Are they trying to set up more conflict? Why are they? Because most of the liberals, progressives, supposedly are for the LGBTQ community. So why are they kind of making them out to be the source of this, unless it is for deliberate conflict? I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud.
I mean, it could be that. I mean, that's possible. You know, the LGBTQ... whatever, RS, whatever. I've lost track, but that community, you know, a lot of those folks are complaining that the transsexuals have taken that whole organization over, you know, that the gay men are being left out. So I don't know, maybe they are trying to drive a wedge amongst the community.
Well, what about, so how do you really expect a major monkeypox outbreak?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very, very unlikely. No, I mean, it can't be. It's not going to happen.
So when we had on Karen Kingston last night, the former Pfizer employee, she laid out for us 6 or 7 man-made pathogens that the government's already saying, and she provided the screenshots here on the show, already saying they have the vaccines for. Now, she was saying these are animal-based pandemics, and they don't jump from animal to human unless you are come in contact with, say, maybe the feces of the animal.
Yeah.
And then that person gets sick, maybe they die, whatever. Yeah. But that person isn't going to get that and then pass it on to another human who passes it on to another human. She says it doesn't work that way. These are all animal-based, zoology-based pandemics. But somehow now they want us to believe these are something we all need a virus or a vaccine for. And she says the government is listing the 6 or 7 of them and has a vaccine for all of them. And she said the only way this would become a problem is if they are man-made and they are then implemented into the system. In other words, I'm not so sure you're talking about people being infected as you are people being injected.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you start using the animal parts in these viruses, in these vaccines, then you wonder why all of a sudden these things are happening. Because they're, I'm not a doctor. I'm just repeating what I've been told.
Well, some
these
people,
are not natural things that naturally occur, right?
Right. Some people argue that the, you know, monkeypox is a genetically engineered, modified virus. That's a possibility. But, you know, you bring up vaccines. Okay, I saw at the gay community event they had where they had a video, and they were all chanting that they want the vaccine. Okay, so there is a vaccine for monkeypox, and these gay men are demanding that the government give them those shots. Okay, so there's a vaccine. There's also something called TPOX, which is a medication. Now I could see where they're going to promote that the TPOX as well as the vaccines to multiple people, and also you brought up about animals. Monkeypox, if you look on the CDC website, they indicate that your pets can transmit monkeypox.
I don't believe it.
On the CDC website.
I know, but I don't believe for 1 minute I have to worry about my dog Delta giving me the monkeypox.
And that could be where the greatest fear comes in. You know, you see a stray cat or a stray dog, you know, I mean, they're talking about, you know, isolating these animals. And so it could get hectic.
It's weird. We're living a weird day, don't we?
Yeah.
But
very strange.
A bunch of Fruit Loops running our government agencies, my word. Let's talk about Marburg, hemorrhagic fever. What are your thoughts on that stuff?
Well, that's another virus. It's come about in the past, but it's pretty isolated. It's usually several hundred people that when it comes about gets infected. It's usually in Africa. That's more of a concern to me, Marburg hemorrhagic type fever, because that can have up to a 30% death rate or higher. So that could be a concern.
And that would freak people out. Some people have said, you wouldn't have to have 5,000 people infected.
Yeah.
You only had to have 200-300 of them infected, and then let the videos roll of them bleeding from the eyes and the nose. And I don't know about you, but I'd pretty much be for self-isolating myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? I don't want to play into all this, but I think I'll stay at home for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that would be kind of, a lot of us would have that with our loved ones too, right?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't take much for you. You would isolate on your own.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to be too convinced of that.
Yeah. We felt like either the Marburg or smallpox, or I didn't kind of figure monkeypox in there right off the bat. Of course, I guess when the monkey spilt out on the highway, there was some concern.
Yeah.
But
he's not making a joke. There was actually where that happened.
Yeah. We live in, today where we're at is, it's vaccines, right?
Right.
I mean, they're just pushing the vaccines. We started Mississippi Against Mandates. Really, we were not telling people not to get vaccinated. At that point, we were concerned. I was seeing vaccine injured. So we were just informing people. We wanted them to know that, they have a choice. Okay. And they don't have to be vaccinated if they don't want to. And of course, if you chose not to be vaccinated, you were going to be discriminated against.
Yes.
So that was a problem. But today,
and now we saw that hospital, thanks to Matt Staver and the Liberty Council. We had Matt Staver on the other night. He won a lawsuit against a hospital for 10 point some odd million.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
This is
right?
very big. We're following
huge.
That. And this is huge because in Mississippi there were many people denied exemptions. Okay, religious exemptions or medical exemptions. All right, there was one Ingalls Shipbuilding, for example, 5,000 employees. They would not allow any exemptions. These people, a lot of them were terminated, found other jobs. Some of them went ahead and took the shots to keep their jobs.
I know, it's pitiful.
And then the CEO of the company turned around and said, "Well, you don't have to be vaccinated."
We played a video the other night of a lady that was in healthcare, took the shot. She thought everyone that didn't take the shot was crazy. She was like, "You're going to bring this home. You're going to spread it." And she was saying, "Now I realize how silly that was. How silly that was." And she says, "Those of you that stood up for your independence and your own choice on that, I hold you in such high regard, and I wish I were among you." And she's talking about the incredible impact on her health from the shot. So tell me about the vaccine injured. I know you were seeing them when you were an ER doctor.
Yeah.
What are you seeing or hearing now?
The first patient I saw that I knew for sure was vaccine injured, she had Guillain-Barré syndrome. She was in her mid-50s.
Is that what Justin Bieber supposedly had?
That's Bell's palsy.
Okay.
But kind of a facial paralysis. This is kind of a weakness that progresses, starts in the lower extremities, and can come up. It can be fatal. Usually not. Usually it can be limited in a younger, healthy person, but some people end up in a wheelchair.
Well, I have a friend of mine whose child, grown son,
yeah,
my age, but my friend has a son my age who got the shot, I'm told,
yeah,
and has now foot drop.
Yeah.
Has to wear a brace.
Yeah.
Was that sound like?
Yeah, that can certainly happen. We're seeing that blood clots, myocarditis, strokes, neurological problems, brain fog, fatigue, pain where it's not a typical, it's like a central nervous system pain. Okay, it's like the tiny nerves in the body, and so it can be very debilitating. I mean, some people can no longer work, even a desk job. And so Dr. Peter McCullough, he got worried about the vaccines about in February of 21, okay, shortly after they came out, when there was reported over 120 deaths on the VAERS. He was concerned. He said, it's time. We need safety data. And so that's when,
And now what are we up to?
Well, we don't know, because they won't report the numbers correctly. They say that, anybody can fill out the VAERS, but yet they're not searching through the data to see really who's been affected. But it's
hard to report, too, isn't it? It's very laborious.
It is. I mean, if you know what you're doing, it's probably a 30-minute ordeal.
If you know what you're doing.
But, I mean, like me, I mean, we're in a busy ER setting. We have a nurse or two.
You're not going to take time to do that.
We just don't have time. We don't have the nurses trained to do that, so there's no way you could do it. And so, but I will say there are a lot of doctors that do report and nurses. And, it's they don't take it lightly when they do report it, because It's an offense. I mean, it's a crime if you report things on there that are fraudulent. So it's we estimate at this point there's probably in the millions of people that have been vaccine injured.
Millions.
In the millions in the United States. And we believe in the hundreds of thousands of people have died. Okay. And we know for sure. I'll just give you one. You've had him on your show, Ernesto.
Yeah.
He's a 16-year-old young man. He got one shot of Pfizer. Within 5 days, he died.
His heart was twice the size it should have been.
Very enlarged heart on autopsy. I reviewed his autopsy. Dr. Peter McCulloch's reviewed his autopsy. There's no doubt. I mean, he had a vaccine injury that was he died from myocarditis, and so. And he's gotten nowhere with that, okay? This man, he's been all over, you know, everybody knows who he is, but yet there's no lawyer that stepped forward to help him. Pfizer will not respond to him.
Help the father.
Will not help the father. No one will help him. So here's a case that there's absolute no doubt, okay? Now, you think about somebody that, you know, you don't know. People are dying right and left. They're dying in their sleep. We have a whole new diagnosis.
Yeah, sudden adult death syndrome.
Sudden adult death syndrome, or some people call it sudden arrhythmia death syndrome. But the point is, you know, I've never heard of that before. You know, I've been practicing a couple decades. I've never made that diagnosis before. We made cardiac arrest, but to come out with something of this line, because there's so many middle-aged people, okay, that are fairly healthy, that are dying in their sleep. I mean, we know of people personally. I'm sure most people do. I mean, athletes dying on the field, falling out. This is very unusual, okay? And so it's time that, you know, the government, the CDC, FDA, they need to take a step back and look at and really search this. And let's just, we need to stop the shots is what it boils down to.
Shots.
I mean, that's the, you know, we were against the mandates, but we say now stop the shots and let's look at the data. I mean, we need a report card. There's no other way to say it. I mean, you know, if you're, we just don't know at this point. These are experimental vaccines. They're not they're not vaccines, as we know what a vaccine
right.
is.
Not legal so. Definition. So yeah. In conclusion, we're going to see another pandemic, aren't we? A plandemic.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, they're going to, yeah, monkeypox. It could be others, you know. I mean, any way the medical community can be used to promote the liberal agenda looks like.
Because this has been a massive multi-trillion dollar windfall for the pharmaceutical companies, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know,
yeah. You want to say something?
I do. Not to interrupt,
yeah,
but,
go ahead.
You know, this platform is a blessing to be able to speak out and, you know, tell what's on. You know, we're at CPAC. We are surrounded by a lot of conservatives. It's political season coming up. I feel like if a group of candidates come forth and say on the platform, we want to remove liability protection from these drug manufacturers, this will end.
It will end.
This will end. That would be one legal thing that could be handled with the right kind of structured bill to take the liability protection away, because they will not continue to do this to us.
Well, if you can't be
covered.
Punished for putting out a bad, quote, vaccine,
that's right.
Yeah.
What's your real incentive then?
Yeah.
And they completely deny.
To do a good vaccine, right?
They completely deny all harms. But when it can be proven, and it can, they would be held accountable. They would stop this.
Absolutely.
And that would put an end to it.
Absolutely.
So there's reforms that need to be made about that liability protection, and you know, the CDC, well, the FDA being paid by the drug manufacturers, the drug manufacturers having so much sway over the medical boards,
right.
And the AMA.
Right.
These are corruptions.
Revolving doors.
They're corruptions that have completely destroyed all credibility in our medical, the founding organizations that we rely on for truth.
Absolutely.
We can't trust them anymore.
Give your websites one more time.
It's MississippiMSAgainstMandates.org.
MSAgainstMandates.org.
Mm-hmm.
MSAgainstMandates.org.
That's right.
Thank you, Witchers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon.
It. Thank
God
you.
God bless you.
Yeah, God
you
bless
too.
You.
Thank you. All right, yeah. That's about ready to wrap it up for us. But let me just tell you, if you appreciate what we're doing, coming to CPAC, buying this expensive booth, our streaming bill alone, $17,000 for the 3 days, we need your support. Please go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code B66. Go to MyStore.com, use the promo code B66. You can also support me and my work and what I do by simply going to WVWFoundation.com. WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. WVW is in World View Weekend. WVWFoundation.com. One of the things we do is put out all kinds of free content on my website at WVWTV.com. WVWTV.com. All that bandwidth bill, I pay for it. So you can watch all of my shows for free. My book, Grave Influence, I sell it at my cost. My book, Marxianity, I sell it at my cost, as low as $3.99. How do we do that? Our foundation. My documentary, Brainwashed America, Part 1, you can watch the whole thing for free at brainwashedthemovie.com right now. 2 hours, watch the whole thing for free, brainwashedthemovie.com. Brainwashed the Movie Part 2 or Brainwashed America Part 2 will be out this fall. I'm already post-editing it. It'll be available for free. These are all projects of my foundation and my broadcast network. So if you want to support what I'm doing, WVWFoundation.com. WVWFoundation.com. If you want to support what Mike Lindell and I are doing here with Lindell TV, then go to MyPillow.com, go to MyStore.com, use the promo code B66. You'll save money and support this network, Lindell TV, as well. We're at CPAC. We put in a good 12 hours today. We'll be back with a full day tomorrow. And again, we're here because you're supporting us. That's what allows us to be able to afford to come here, buy the booth, pay for the booth, pay for the bandwidth to broadcast. And we brought you interviews that we otherwise, well, we wouldn't have had. Some of these people we would have never met unless we were here making great contacts to bring you this information. So thank you for your support as we work together to keep truth flowing. Till tomorrow morning, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. Take care.